Take your Bibles this morning, if you will, and turn over to the book of Revelation, please. Revelation chapter number 3. Revelation chapter number 3. Revelation is a book that some people are kind of afraid of and they steer away from. But I'll remind you that in verse number 3 of chapter number 1, the Bible said, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." I tell you, the time is at hand. In verse 19 of chapter number 1, the Bible said, "Write the things which thou hast seen." John is standing there in the Spirit on the Isle of Patmos on the Lord's Day. And God told him, he said, "Write the things which you have seen." There's some past involved. And then he said, "The things which are." There's some present involved. And then he said, "And the things which shall be hereafter." There's some prophecy involved out there in the future. And in Revelation chapter number 3, we're going to look and examine a little while this morning and probably this evening as well. The Lord had a word to in verse 14. The Bible said, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." He said in verse 15, "I know thy works." Well, I tell you, that's just been on my heart all week. "That thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see." That's kind of my text today. Anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. He said, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." If correctly read, that's Revelation 3, verse 14 through verse number 22. Please pray for me and let's pray together. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning for the blessed privilege to stand here in this place and break the bread of life today. God, I thank you, Lord, for the wonderful, wonderful, Lord, time we've already had in the house of God. Lord, we've gathered in Sunday school and then gathered, Lord, around the good singing and fellowship. God, now it's time for the Word of God. God, I know tonight, Lord, or this morning, that you can help us. And I pray, God, that you would help us both this morning and tonight, Lord, to see truth that would transform our lives. God, bless those that are sick today and help them. Those that are bereaved and grieving today, God, would you help them? Then I pray today, Lord, for that soul that's lost without God. God, that today might be the day they would experience a visitation from on high. God, that you might come to where they are like you did for me, Lord. Show them their need. God will give you glory. In Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. I've learned some things about the church at Laodicea in my study that it's not right on the surface that I had to go back and do some research. And I believe the Bible tells us to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I want to ask you something this morning. How many believes we can still see real revival? How many believes we could do that? But I believe that one of the keys to seeing real revival is going to be that we get our eyes anointed with eye salve, and that we see some things here that God would help us to see, and I believe it'll help us along the way. You can look at these churches, these seven churches in Asia, several different ways as you study them. And I don't believe you would be wrong in any of them. Number one, you could look at them in a practical way. In other words, it's a literal letter being written from a literal Lord to a literal congregation of people. That's the truth, amen, right here in the book of Revelation. But then you could also look at it in a prophetic way. These churches down through the ages represent the church in a period of time. And I believe, as I've studied, that most people believe that since about 1900 A.D. to the rapture of the Lord Jesus, that there'd been a lot of apostasy going on. And that's what's going on here in the church at Laodicea and the age that's being represented here. I'll say more about this maybe later in the service or maybe even tonight. But I tell you what I believe. I believe in the Laodicean church age, and I believe we're living in that. By the way, apostasy is not ignorance. It's one thing to be ignorant. It's another thing to be an apostate. An apostate is somebody that looks the truth and sees the truth, but turns their back on the truth and says, I'm going to go my own way anyway. Amen? You can say whatever you want to, but I believe there's a lot going on in the name of the Lord and in the name of religion that's not ignorance. It's nothing but apostasy. They're turning away from the revealed truth. There's no way that you could tell somebody to come down here and sign a little card and you'll go to heaven. Amen. There's no way you could tell somebody that, or tell somebody that we could dip you in a water hole back here or sprinkle a little water on your head and you'll be all right. I'm telling you, that's just not true. That's apostasy. This Bible said you must be born again. And this Bible is true. And I believe that in the midst of the apostasy, there's a Philadelphian church. Look what the Bible said in verse 7 of chapter 3. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength. Don't you thank God for a little strength in these days? Thou hast kept my word. Don't you thank God today that there's still some folk that want to keep the word of God, that believe that the word of God is the final authority? Amen. It's not the word of the preacher. It's not the word of the priest. It's not the word of the church. It's the word of God that's the final authority in this generation that we live in. And there's still some folks that believe that. He said, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world and try them that dwell upon the earth. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I believe God's telling us right there that those that are faithful, those that really believe, those that are really born again, those that have really trusted Jesus, those that have really been washed in the blood, my friend, before the hour of Jacob's trouble comes, he's going to take us out of the way and take us home, amen, and deliver us from the hour of temptation. So you look at it practically. You look at it prophetically. But I'll tell you something today, and here's where God wants me to preach. I don't believe it's wrong at all when you examine the seven churches of Asia to look at it personally and just see, do I fit in there somewhere? Amen. And listen, sometimes we can say amen, and sometimes we can just say, oh me. But I'm telling you, I believe God. You say, preacher, I don't think preaching ought to be personal. I think that's what's wrong in this generation. Amen. Somebody tell John the Baptist that.
Amen. When he stood in front of Herod and said, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Amen. Somebody tell John that. I tell you, Jesus or John, either one, wouldn't last very long in Kingsport pastoring anywhere. Say amen. Telling them like it is. Amen. That's what they did. Telling the truth. Personally, you see, I believe right here, God wants us to see some things. Now, I want to introduce the message today, and I'm not trying to impress anybody, but I can study a little bit, and I can learn. And I did not know until I studied how that these things fit in with the church at Laodicea. How many knows Jesus has a way of meeting people where they are? He has a way. Or Brother Brian, you're going to like this. I found out they were famous for pharmaceuticals. Amen? And when he said, anoint thy eyes with eye salve, they actually had in the pharmaceutical market, they had a tablet that they dissolved and made a paste out of, and it cured many of the diseases. And Laodicea was famous for that. They were famous for their finances. I mean, they had it all together financially. Amen. Remember when America had it all together financially? Now what we're famous for is how much we owe China. Amen. I'm telling you, my friend, listen, Laodicea was famous for not only their finances and famous for their pharmaceuticals, but they were famous for their fashion. They had this wool that they made. They were renowned for a soft black wool, and it was a luxury item, and it was used to make clothing and rugs. You say, now, preacher, what's that got to do with the text? Well, how about this? Jesus comes along, and he says, you think you're rich. You think you're on top of the world financially. How about this? He said, you think you've got them luxury items. You think you've got the clothes. But what you're missing is the righteousness of Christ. You're missing that white garment. Amen. And then he says, anoint your eyes with eye salve that you might see. He said, hey, there's a bunch of you. You think you don't need that pharmaceutical medicine, but you need something that you might see spiritually, that you might see eternally. Watch this now. I believe this is important. The Bible's teaching us here. He said, I know thy works. How many believes he knows our works? That thou art neither cold nor hot. You know what I would like to do this morning? I'd like to encourage us and challenge us to ask ourselves the question, am I cold or am I hot or am I lukewarm? Don't sit there, Chase, and say, is my pastor cold? Or is my pastor hot? Or is my pastor lukewarm? But look in your own heart. Look in your own heart. Look in your own heart. You say, preacher, how in the world are we ever going to see a real revival? I tell you how. Not looking at one another, but looking in our own heart. And seeing in our own heart whether we're cold or whether we're hot or whether we're lukewarm. Here's something that I learned. I trust it'll be a blessing to you. It was a blessing to me to learn this. Some of the things about the city in Laodicea. It was founded by Antiochus II sometime before 253 B.C. It was named after his wife, Laodice. That's where the city got the name. The city was located on a high plateau and was very, very, very protected from an enemy attack. It was hard to get to them, but they had a vulnerability about them. The problem that they had was they had no ready source of water. Laodicea didn't have any water themselves. The water had to come in from somewhere else. Glory to God, I'm about to shout right there. Guess what? We ain't got no water ourselves. But glory to God, we know where the source is. Amen. It has to come in from somewhere else. Now listen to me. Listen to me. This will help us if we'll let it. Amen. My friend, it ain't time to shine our halo. Not if you want to have revival. Amen. If you want to have revival, let's look down in there and say, oh God, I'm cold. Help me, Lord. Let's look down in there and say, oh God, I'm lukewarm. Help me, Lord. I don't want to make you sick, Lord. I want to be on fire for God. Have a real revival in my heart. Watch this now. This is something that I learned. There was no ready source of water, so the water had to be piped in. I got to see these when I was in Israel through what they call aqueducts. And Brother John's been working recently over at his daughter's on a shower. and you put some board down and cement down, and you make a bottom. And he said, "What are you doing that for? So it'll hold water. So the water won't go out in the floor, so it'll go down the drain." Well, an aqueduct, what it was a concrete and rock surface that made like a trough. And they would actually bring water in from miles. One source of the water at Laodicea was 6 miles away. Another source of the water was 10 miles away. Now listen to me carefully. I'm going somewhere. Listen to me. Listen to what I learned. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. One source of the water was from the hot springs. It was from the hot springs in a place called Hierapolis. It was 6 miles to the north, and it was brought into the city. And there was another source. It was piped in from Colossae, which was located 10 miles to the east. Now listen to me carefully right here. How many knows that the water coming from Colossae was cold? How many's with me right there? The water coming from Hierapolis was hot. It was coming from the hot springs. But it doesn't matter if you're running at 6 miles and it started out hot. Somebody tell me how it was when it got to Laodicea. It was lukewarm. And that over yonder that started out cold, somebody tell me how it was when it got to Laodicea. It was lukewarm. You say, "Preacher, how's the Holy Ghost doing to you? How's he doing with you this morning?" I tell you how he's doing me. He's taken me back 27 years when I knelt at an old-fashioned altar of prayer and Jesus Christ became my Lord and my Savior. And he's saying, "I want you to answer the question truthfully, buddy. Is it just as hot as it was back there? Or have you run for 27 years and experienced some lukewarmness in your life?" Running away from the source. You say, "Preacher, what's revival about?" I'll tell you what revival's about. Running back to the source. That's what revival's about. Running back to where God set us on fire to start with. I'll tell you something right now. Some of you sitting here today, and you ain't got no place to run back to. You ain't never been to the source. Some of you don't have an idea what I'm talking about. But I'll guarantee you there's some of God's people sitting here today, and the Holy Ghost is already putting his finger down on our lives and saying, "Hey, it's about time you get back. It's about time you understand that lukewarmness makes me sick. Lukewarmness makes me want to vomit. God said it'd be better off if you'd just be cold, or if you'd be hot. That'd be tickling me." Amen. God wants us to do that. Laodicea. You say, "Preacher, I don't understand." Well, let me just give you this morning. I believe there's three things that God can help us with if we want to see real revival. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever had anything in your eye? How many of y'all know that where anybody that's got something in their eye, I'm that way with my finger. If I get something in my finger, a little sliver of steel or a thorn, I am just not content until I get that thing out. Amen? I'll cut the end of my finger off trying to get that little thing out. I'm just tired of being aggravated by it. Amen? But let me say this to you. We get something in our eye. Listen, you can ask Charity. You can ask Miss Eve. You can ask Boo, my baby daughter. It's getting married in June. Brother Brian, I'll get help from wherever I can get help from. I want somebody that can see. I want somebody that can take some of that eye wash and flush it out. Amen. I want somebody that can help me. Amen. I'm going to tell you something, church, this morning. The church of the living God, those that are genuinely born again, we've got somebody that can help us. Somebody that can help us flush our eyes out. Somebody that can help us with that that's aggravating us. Somebody that can help us see clearly again. And if you're here today and you're lost without God, you've got somebody that can help you too. He loves you. He loves you. Think about this morning. I believe what God wants us to see here, first of all, in the message, He wants us to see, as we look at this scripture, our condition. Let me just say this to you. There's some people here that, listen, if we'd be honest, there's some people here making no plans whatsoever to come to revival. Some people here, what you'll give God this week is leftovers. If I've got anything left after I do what I want to do, I'll give it to God. But I'm going to tell you something right now. We're not seeing clearly if that's our attitude. I'm telling you, God don't want leftovers. God wants us to make it a point. God wants us to look, my friend, and examine ourselves. God wants us to see right here and see it clearly, our condition. Right, let me just say this to you. I'm going to use the word us. I don't believe any of us are as spiritual as we think we are. Amen. By the way, spiritual people never think they're spiritual. You'll never find a spiritual person bragging on their spirituality. I tell you, those that are living closest to God are those that deem themselves the furthest away. God wants us to look at ourselves, examine ourselves, see our condition. He said, I know thy works. Can I say this to you this morning? He knows my works and He knows your works. When Jesus was talking to the church at Laodicea, you know what He was doing? He was talking to them in a way that they could relate to. He was talking to them in a way that water that come from Colossae cold was now lukewarm. It come from Hierapolis hot, but it's now lukewarm. He's talking to them in a way that they could understand. Now listen, my wife is the only person in this world that I know of that likes to drink things lukewarm. I think if she ever gets right with God, that'll change. Amen? But she can drink lukewarm this and lukewarm that. But I tell you what, I'm like old Brother Mays was. If it's coffee and it's supposed to be hot, praise God. Don't you drop no ice cube in it. Give it to me hot. If it's iced tea and it's supposed to be cold, load her up, amen, and bring me some iced tea. I'm just saying this morning, God wants us to look at ourselves and look at our condition and say, He said, I know thy works. Let me ask you this. How many of those revival flyers have you taken? How many people have you invited? Did you know God knows? How many people have you prayed for? Do you know God knows? How many people have you really shed a tear for and begged God that they might be saved or that they might get help or they might get back in the house of God? Oh, you say, preacher, oh, this is hurting us. I tell you, it's hurting me when He gave it to me too. God wants us to be hot. He wants us to look at our condition. He said, I know thy works. I know thy works. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. Because thou art lukewarm, He said, I will spew thee out of my mouth. How many knows that you can't have revival without Him? You can't have revival without Him. I'm going to tell you, if you'll read on in this scripture, and I'll get to it tonight, He's standing on the outside knocking, wanting to come in. I tell you what, I praise God He's in. And I praise God, listen, those who want revival, if we'll anoint our eyes with eyesalve and God will help us to see, I believe we can see revival even in these days. Amen. Watch this now. Our condition. Watch this. He said, because thou sayest, I'm rich. Let me ask you something. As far as the world was concerned, were they rich? Let me give you something here. Listen to me carefully. In America, was there a time, as far as the world's concerned, we were rich? How many's with me on that? What happened? I tell you what happened. Apostasy. We began to turn our back on revealed truth. And we began to think things like this. It's all right to shack up. That's why it's up in the 40% of youngins in America. Don't come from a home. They don't have a father. Oh, you say, preacher, what's that got to do with anything? God's word says different. And we turned our back on it. We turned our back on the liquor industry. God's word says, don't put your bottle to your brother's lips. It's not right to be drunk, amen, and get drunk and drink that stupid stuff. It's not even right to look on it when it moveth itself aright, when it's fermented. Oh, you say, preacher, you can't preach that in this generation. I just did, and I'll continue to. But I'll tell you what, this generation did. They turned their back on it. They said, we can get some taxes. If we'll just legalize it, we can get some taxes. Now it's come down to marijuana. Let's just legalize it. Then we can get us some taxes. We don't care how many families it destroys. We don't care how many teenagers it destroys. We don't care how many children have to go without a baby bottle and go without a clean diaper. Let's just get some taxes. Turned our back on the truth of the Word of God. Now we're marching a man with a man. I'm going to tell you right now, it'll be a cold day where the booger man lives for a man with a man will ever march down the aisle of this church while I'm the pastor. You say, preacher, what happened? Apostasy. God said it's an abomination, but we just turned our back as a nation on what God said. We'll do what we say. Now we got pulpits in America full of preachers that want to tickle people's ears and make them feel good in their sin. I'm telling you right now, we need revival. Listen, I'm not talking to the church down the road. We can't do anything about that. But what we can do is say, God, anoint our eyes. Help us to see. Help us to see our own condition and get in shape for revival. He said, anoint your eyes with eyesight. All kinds of things. He said, preacher, what else are you going to get on? Everything I can think of. It's one thing to be disabled, and it's another thing to refuse to work. We had a family not long ago right here that we tried to help and tried to help. And I found out that there's a son over there that ain't never been to this church. Now he's moved his shack-up girlfriend in. You say, preacher, are you mad? No, I'm not mad. I'm giving it to you like it is. The Word of God said if he won't work, let him sit over and starve to death. God don't expect the church to send the groceries in over there. Are you listening to me? When a man won't work. Somebody said you can walk to McDonald's. He said, I don't want no job at McDonald's. Then starve. Amen. I'm telling you with all of my heart, we need revival. We need to get to where we would never turn away from what God said, but turn to what God said. That's real revival. Real revival. I hope Brother Jones will come in here this week and preach like it'll be the last meeting he'll ever get to preach. And I hope you and I will sit there and soak it up. Amen. And let God work in our hearts and work in our lives and work in our families. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say we can see real revival, but we're not going to see it through the temporal eye. We're not going to see it through the natural eye. They said we're rich, but God said you're poor. You know what really matters about our church? Listen to me carefully. It's not what preacher says, not what you say. Not what the community says. What really matters about our church, what's he say about it? What's he have to say about it? Does he say you have a name that you're rich and you don't know that you're poor and miserable and blind and naked? I thank my God. You listen to me carefully right here. Listen to me. I don't know that I've ever preached on money since I've been here. I've not had to say one word about one dime. Say amen. There's people that love God. There's people that give. There's people that want to see the work of God go forward. But I'm telling you right now, there's more to the work of God than the offering. There's more to the work of God than coming in here in the right clothes. I'm telling you, God wants us to work and be on fire in His work. Saturday's coming. Saturday after revival. Last year, there was 54 people that showed up to pass out Bible school flyers. Brother Brian, we ought to be praying for at least 75. 75 folks show up and go out and give out them flyers for Bible school. Invite people to the house of God. Like Brother Brian said, maybe a special visit where someone's sick or someone's lost or someone has a special need. I'm telling you, church, there's no reason for us to go backwards. We need to go forward for the glory of God. We need to go forward. He said, I know thy works. I know them. God knows. Let me just say this. I could mount this pulpit and act like I know about everything that's going on in this church. But I'm going to tell you something right now. I don't know. But I know the one who does. He knows. The Lord had to teach me something about parenting. I used to teach my parent and my children the fear of daddy. But let me tell you what's more important than the fear of daddy. That's the fear of Jesus. Daddy can't always be with them. Daddy can't always see what they're doing. But I tell you, there's a God in heaven that knows exactly what they're doing. And if they fear the Lord, it'll help them along the way. Our condition. He said, thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods. Look at this right here, and I'm going to try to close. And have need of nothing. You want the Lord to go out of this place so fast and make your head swim? Just have an attitude. Man, we got everything we need.
Amen.
We don't need nothing. Brother Ralph, we need him so bad. We need him on the choir. We need him on the preacher. We need him on the Sunday school teacher. We need him on the revival meeting this week. We need him. We need him. God help a church. And let me say this to you. You might not like it, but I believe in America, after the rapture takes place, there are churches that will proceed as usual. It won't even make a difference. It won't even make a difference. I'll tell you something, that ought to burden us. We ought to want to see revival. We ought to want to see the Lord light a fire in our hearts and in our lives. This morning, we've been kind of running down the aqueduct, Brother Jeff, for years. How many years you've been saved, Brother Jeff? 20? Okay. 20 years you've been running down that aqueduct. You say, well, preacher, how in the world can you stay hot running down that aqueduct? I'll tell you how. The one that you started with goes with you. How many's with me right there? When the source goes with you, it doesn't have to turn into lukewarmness. And it doesn't have to turn into coldness. Brother John, when the source goes with us, and we're not saying, I don't need you. But we're like that songwriter, I need you every hour. I got to have you, Lord. I got to have your touch. I believe with all my heart, if there's been a time and a place in your life where you've genuinely been born again, then you know about the source. But I believe with all my heart, if you've drifted away, running down that aqueduct, and the source is back yonder, you know that too. Say amen. Oh, you say, preacher, he said he'd never leave me. He said he'd go with me all the way. Oh, yeah, he will. He promised that, and he'll be there. But I tell you, it's how we respond to him that determines whether we're hot or cold or lukewarm. I'll give you this, and I'm done. I believe the girl was 11 years old. Was Lakin 11, honey, in Illinois? 12, maybe? 12 years old. Her name was Lakin. You say, how can you remember a name like that, B.R.? That's how I remember her name, the preacher, B.R. Lakin. No, I haven't rubbed shoulders with him, and I didn't know him, but I know his name. And I know he did a great work for God. Lakin. She came. On a Sunday morning, revival started there in Southern Illinois. They asked me to come preach. And she came and wanted to be saved. And she asked Jesus to forgive her. She was broken. She asked Jesus to forgive her. Asked Jesus to come in and take over in her life. She got up from the altar and everybody shook hands with her. And we had a wonderful time. On the way to the restaurant, some of y'all might already be on the way, though you're still sitting here. We shouldn't be on the way yet. God ain't done yet. On the way to the restaurant, her papaw said to her, said, Lakin, honey, what was it like when you got saved this morning? And she said, papaw, it was like the cold went out. And the warm came in. I've never heard salvation described like that, but that's pretty good. I tell you, thank God we were cold. We were dead in trespass and sin. But when the life of Jesus came in, it made warm our heart with the life of the Lord. If that's never happened in your life, it needs to. God wants it to. And if that's happened in your life and you've drifted away, as we look at this church this morning, the church at Laodicea, God said they were lukewarm. He said, I'll spew you. It turns my stomach, God said. Oh my goodness. To hear God say, you turn my stomach. To hear God say, I made mention of this Tuesday night, you're sorry. It's concerning the work of God, you're sorry. That's awful. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege to be here. God, I know this morning that, Lord, you want us to have revival, real revival. Would you anoint our eyes with eye salve that we could see? Lord, 4 days it'll be over like batting an eye. God, help us to pay attention to your Spirit. Help us, Lord, not to be wretched and poor and miserable and blind and naked. Help us, God, that we might have the touch of God on our lives. Lord, I pray this morning for that individual, that apostate, that person that knows the truth, but they've turned their back on the truth. They've said, I don't care what the Bible says. I don't care what the preacher says. I don't care what the master says. God, this morning I pray that they would turn from their wicked ways. I pray, God, for the church. Lord, thank you for the church. Thank you, Lord, that we're part of the church. Help us, Lord, to see our condition. God, I cannot speak for others, but I know this. I don't believe any of us are as spiritual as we think we are. God, we need revival. God, help us to have revival. Not just another series of meetings, but a genuine, Spirit-filled, sin-hating, Savior-loving revival. Help us, Lord.